when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 here on WDER Radio. Once again, my name is Pastor N.R. Davis. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church here in Manchester, New Hampshire. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry, you can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. That is theabidinglightchurch.com. You can go and look us up also on the Facebook. We're over here on the west side of Manchester, preaching to you the Word of God. Tune in with us as we go into the sanctuary of the Abiding Light Church. In Matthew 18 and 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And it says, he says, till seven times. And Jesus saith unto him in verse 22, I say unto thee, but on 70 times seven. This afternoon, a few thoughts on forgiveness. Amen. How many of us know this is so important in the life of a believer? Without us understanding the proper doctrines of forgiveness, is that forgiveness is not just for us, but we can also forgive. Forgiveness comes from God. And once we get the understanding that we have been forgiven of our sins, we ought to also forgive others of their sins. Now, we cannot forgive sin in the aspect of it being forgiven like Christ can forgive sin on the earth, but we can let things go. Can you say amen? The Bible says here, as we were reading, Peter came and asked the question, how often should I forgive my brother? He gives a number that is astronomical. And basically the point in being in verse 21 and 22 is that you forgive your brother. If he repents, you forgive your brother. This is a good question. I thank God for Peter who asked these good questions. And the Bible says, therefore, in verse 23, is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain man which would take an account? This king would take an account that would bring all of his servants into accountability and seeing what the money that would be owed to him. And the Bible says here in verse 23, he gives this parable. And when he had begun to reckon with his servants, he brought unto him one which owed him 10,000 talents, which is a number that would never be able to be paid back, basically, if you do the study of what these 10,000 talents mean. In other words, he owed a debt he could never, ever pay. Are you listening? A debt that never could be paid. The Bible says, and when he began to reckon, he brought him before him and he owed all this money. Verse 25, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. We're going to take your wife, we're going to take your family, and we're going to sell them, and I'm going to get as much as I can out of them for them to be slaves. Verse 26, the servant said, therefore he fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all that I owe you. Then the Lord, verse 27, the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, and he loosed him and forgave him of the debt. But the same servant, that same man that received so much forgiveness, went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, not very much. Verse 28, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. Here this man has received forgiveness of his debt, fell down on his knees. Don't take my wife and sell her. Don't take my children. Don't take my family. Now he goes out. Finds somebody that owes him money. Grabs this man by the throat and demands payment. Christ uses this parable. Money is something that is the root, the love of it is the root of all evil. Can you say amen? But it is necessary for us to have to be able to live. Finances are a very touchy thing that can really, really get under your skin, if you will. If you are owed money, it can really bother you. We all have in some form. Now, if you're debt free today, God bless you. But most of us owe on a mortgage. We owe rent to a landlord. We owe bills. We owe credit cards. Come on now, somebody. I can guarantee you, if you don't have any debt, just wait. Eversource will faithfully send you a bill here in the next few weeks. Amen. Liberty Utilities are faithful. Every month, it's in the mail. You owe them a debt. Amen. And the credit card companies, they want their payment. So money is something that can bring a lot of stress on you. And Jesus is using this as a lesson to the disciples as Peter asked the question about forgiveness. And he uses this subject of finances because it touches and affects every one of us. Finances can be a blessing, but they can also be a curse. And the Bible says that this man owed a debt he could not pay. He cried out for mercy. His Lord showed him mercy. But he then in return forgot how he was shown mercy. Grabs a man by the throat. Can I tell you, this is the way you will be if you don't get the revelation of understanding of how much Christ has forgiven you of your sins. It's easy to look upon others, but don't forget the pit that he pulled you out of. The Bible says he took him by the throat and he demanded payment of this man that didn't even owe him that much. The Bible goes on to say he threw him into prison until the debt could be paid, verse 30. So when his fellow servants saw what he did, they went and were very sorry and came and told the Lord all that he did. You be careful. People are watching you. Some of you are watching me, and I'm watching you. But I can tell you this, God ultimately sees it all. I used to stress a lot more about finances than I do today, but thank God he's brought me a long way. How many of us know when you get behind, stress, anxiety, worry, fear? But I begin to realize our God is more than able to supply our every need. And none of us want to admit that we've been in debt or we're in debt or we owe money. And I guarantee you when you owe somebody money and they don't have Christ in them, watch out, the demons from hell are going to come against you. But they never received the revelation of how much they had been forgiven. When you begin to understand that we all were in debt to God, sin had brought us under the curse through Adam, and we owed a debt we could not pay. Amen. And I can tell you this, once you understand the forgiveness of a sovereign God, that he came down to earth, walked amongst his humanity. Amen. We were born in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. And God was demanding that a payment be made. And the only one that could make that payment was Jesus Christ up on the cross of Calvary. There was forgiveness in him. And though we were yet in our sins, Christ came and said, I'm going to forgive them of all. Hallelujah. You didn't hear me. I'm thankful for Jesus, who is a God that forgives us of all of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Can you say amen? A little songwriter said, I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm forgiven and I know that I am. Now in Christ's eyes, yes, we are, if we put our faith in the finished work of His Son in Christ upon the cross. He paid it all. Can you say amen? But here this man forgets about his merciful, compassionate Lord, who said, I'm not going to sell your sons and your daughters, but I'm going to forgive you and them of all their debt. But now he goes and takes someone else by the throat. That's pretty aggressive. Listen to me. Oh, you owe me money. See, it's one thing when you're dealing with a sinner in the world, but if you claim to be a Christian and can't forgive a brother or a sister, you might not have the Spirit of Christ. But don't get me wrong, we've got to pay our debts or make a good effort to do it. But this man couldn't pay this debt. And the Bible says there was compassion. How many have ever called up the creditors? Maybe it was on your mortgage, or maybe it was an electric bill, maybe it was a credit card bill, or maybe a doctor's bill, and they forgave you or gave you a little more time. How many appreciate getting a little, amen, we call it a little time of grace, amen. I had one pastor tell me, when I get my new vehicle, all I need to know is how much grace do I have at the end of each month to make that payment. How many of us know you get a little grace period of time where you've got a little extra time to pay and make that payment? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Can I tell you, God, before He brings judgment, He first shows mercy. Can I tell you, God doesn't just instantly beat the gavel down, say, lock them up, throw them in the pit. They will not pay their debt. But God is a merciful God. He's long-suffering, willing that none should perish in their sin, but that all should come to forgiveness. Can I tell you, if you are a Christian that can't show mercy, you can't show compassion and long-suffering, I doubt that when God deals with you, if you can't show it to your fellow man, God will not show it to you. We determine by the seed that we sow what our harvest is going to be. If you are quick to judge others, you yourself are going to be judged in the same measure in which you judge others. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. But those that have no patience, those that don't have any tolerance, those that do not show long suffering, those that do not show compassion to their fellow brothers or sisters when they've committed sin, when they owe you a debt, when they show you these things, brothers and sisters, we are to be like how Christ has been with us. Come on now, somebody. How many need forgiveness? Hallelujah. How many will admit, I need a little more time? I need a little more forgiveness. I need somebody to show me some mercy. Hallelujah. We reap what we sow in a due season. You sow mercy, you're going to reap mercy. You sow patience with somebody, and you're going to reap patience. If you can't be patient with somebody, don't expect God to be patient with you. I wish they would just quit doing that. I wish they, oh, come on now. Oh, I just wish they would repent. And I just wish He would do this or do that. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I've been in this long enough to tell you this. We reap what we sow in a due season. I don't care if you aren't actually fulfilling what you're saying. God judges you according to what comes out of your mouth, and what's in your mouth is an indication of what's in your heart. And I'm telling you, if we are Christians, we are to bear the image and the likeness of Christ through the fruits of the Spirit. Read what the fruits of the Spirit are. They are love, they are joy, they are peace, they are long-suffering, they are mercy. Oh, they are showing compassion. And can I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to display mercy when someone does not deserve it. Hallelujah. That's the nature of God. We all deserve it. deserve to go to hell. But thank God that God was merciful to send his only begotten son to die a cruel death upon the cross. Jesus became sin for me and for you, that we could be found blameless in the eyes of God because he shed his blood. It was the mercy, the love of God, the long suffering of God that was bestowed upon his creation. And this is the nature of God, is to show mercy. For the Bible declares he delights in mercy. Can I tell you, there's people that delight in judgment rather than mercy. They love to judge you and condemn you, but yet fail. And I'm talking about Christians now. I'm not talking about folks in the world. I expect this from the sinner, to judge you without any mercy. But when you as a believer judge without mercy, you are setting yourself up for judgment without mercy. The Bible says here, so he took him by the throat, demanded the debt be paid. The Bible says in verse 33, you should have had compassion on your fellow servant. Forgiveness means to forsake, to lay aside, to let it go. I said to let it go. Let it be. Send it away. Suffer it not to take up any capacity within your mind or body. Some people have grudges. They have a problem with what people do, with what people say, and that all has its place. But can I tell you what I'm realizing as I go on in this life? Mercy always triumphs over judgment. I said mercy always triumphs. That's the word of God. Christ is our judge. And will he not judge righteously? Problem is, we don't know the hearts of individuals. That's why Christ has all authority to judge righteous judgment. He shall make right judgments on everything, because he knows the hearts of men and women. Can you say amen? So forgiveness is something that we have to let go and give to God. Forgiven a great debt, but yet he himself would not forgive. God is a God of forgiveness. This is the nature of God. And if Christ is in us, we should be bearing the image of the nature of forgiveness, because he abides within. Forgiveness is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a feeling. It's not something you just pops in your head and you say, oh, I'm going to forgive them. You know, there's shallow forgiveness where folks will say they forgive you, but they don't forget. True forgiveness. Over a period of time, you'll forget about the debt. You'll forget about the harm it did to you. I'm telling you, Christ would never command us to do something that he would not empower us to do. Forgiveness is not a suggestion. It is something we can do by the grace of God. Ephesians 4:31, very quickly, let all bitterness, wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, God help us, be put away from you. Somebody say me. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, but put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. Don't be bitter. Don't be wrathful if you were a believer with your brother, with your sister. Don't be clamorous. Don't be evil speaking of your brother. But put this all away with you, with every evil intent against them. And this is what you need to be walking in, is the fruits of the Spirit. Be kind one to another. Somebody say, that means me to my brother. Amen. tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Christ commands forgiveness. Do you know there's a lot of people going to end up in hell that don't forgive? The Bible says the man that didn't forgive and took the other man by the throat had sudden judgment brought on him. How important is forgiveness? You don't forgive, you bring God's wrath and judgment upon yourself. To be judged swiftly by God. It is so important not to hold on to internal feelings, emotions, and thoughts towards your brother. And if you do have those feelings and emotions of wrath and anger, and every time you think of them, you just can't stand the thought of them. Oh, I remember what they did. Listen, you need deliverance. You need deliverance. And not only deliverance, you need healing from something that's inside of you that's looking to send you to hell. Unforgiveness is a sin. Oh, listen, many Christians did not ever intend to end up in that place when they took their last breath, but many today, I believe, are in that place called hell, being in torment because they, amen, were willing to receive forgiveness, but yet not forgive their fellow brothers or sisters. This is serious right here. This sin right here is going to send multitudes to hell. Come on now. I'm telling you, it's serious. Forgiving one another. Colossians says it this way, Christ commands forgiveness. And I told you just a moment ago, He would never command us to do something that was not within our capacity by the power of His Spirit to do. He told the woman caught in the very act of adultery, go and sin no more. And He would have never told her that if He did not equip her, amen, with the power of the Spirit to go and not commit that sin anymore. And the same commandment is given to us in Colossians 3 and 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, God's people, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. The Bible commands us forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do I command you, forgive your brother or your sister. It will destroy your relationship with God. It will affect the move of the Holy Ghost in the church. You have feelings against me. If I've offended you, I ask you to forgive me. There's a lot of things I'm forced to say behind this pulpit that I wish I didn't have to say. If I make you mad, make you get angry, make you not want to come to the church, I don't, amen, repent for preaching the truth, but I ask that if my spirit was ever wrong, if my attitude was ever wrong, if I had the wrong delivery or you felt that I was preaching on you on purpose, that's never my intent. I don't, amen, prepare my messages throughout the week just to put a bullseye on you. But I can tell you what happens. If it's in you and the shoe fits, you're going to have to just wear it, because I'm telling you, I preach on a broad spectrum. Brother Clendenin said it this way. He says, you got the machine gun out. He says, you hit just about everything in that message. And I'm telling you, it's going to, after a little while, the preacher's going to say something. And can I tell you, sometimes what the preacher says is intended to hit you. It's intended to convict you. Brothers and sisters, the last thing we need is quarrels among one another, unforgiveness in the church, feelings and emotions that we're carrying into the house of God, coming into the presence of a holy God. But I've got frustration towards my brother. I've got anger towards my sister. Listen to me. How can God pour out the Spirit? How can God pour out the rain if there is unforgiveness dwelling within us? What started the Azusa Street revivals, the Wesleyan revivals, the revivals in Wales? If you study church history and the revivals of years gone by, they were always birthed out of meetings where the preacher began to come under the unction of the Holy Ghost to put his finger by the hand of God through the preaching of God's word upon the sins of the people. And as he began to preach, he would declare, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." That means that revival and healing and restoration of a church, of a relationship, of a marriage, of a nation, it all is sparked by one key thing, and that is us acknowledging our sin in the presence of a holy God when his spirit comes down and begins to convict our conscience under the preaching of the word of God. You will fall under that conviction. Amen. Repentance doesn't mean you just feel bad. Repentance doesn't mean you just shed a few tears. But repentance is when you come to an altar and you ask God to change me. Take it out of me. Get this out of my heart. I don't want any sins of unforgiveness dwelling within my body. Hallelujah. As we begin to close this radio broadcast, I want to remind you, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast.
This is Pastor N.R. Davis. I'm the pastor of the Abiding Light Church on the west side of Manchester. If you'd like to go to our website, you can go to it at theabidinglightchurch.com. We would be so delighted to hear from you. We would be so encouraged to know that those of you that have listened today have been encouraged by the Word of God. Once again, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 here on WDER Radio. I want to just let you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Until next Saturday, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.